Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Hair Healer Podcast. I hope everyone had a fabulous week. Thank you so much for tuning in and enjoying and loving season two as much as I am. Please make sure you rate, review, thumbs this up to whatever you listen to, and send this to someone. That's the best way you can help me at the moment with the Hair Healer Podcast. If you want to be on the show, if you have a suggestion, if you just want to reach out, please email me. TheHairHealerPodcast@yahoo.com. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram @TheHairHealer1111 and follow me on Facebook, The Hair Healer Podcast on Facebook. Thank you. Okay, so let's jump into this episode again. It's so funny. Last week I tried to do this episode and Mercury was still in its post-retrograde phase and everything was just going kind of crazy and not working. And we spent maybe 45 minutes. It was a great way because with my guests, we talk before. So we get like a warm up and get to feel each other. And we figure that out. And you said, okay, it wasn't meant to be today. So we are going to try it next week. And already things seem better. We had a few little mishaps, but my guest said it's because we have such magnetic energy, which I totally agree because you should just see her smiling right now. I'm recording at the studio, but she is down in Georgia, right? Correct?
Yes, a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia, Alpharetta. Georgia.
Alpharetta. Okay, I actually think I knew someone who used to live there. Now let me introduce my guest. This is Kesley Tweed from Iron Gypsy Life. Nice. I don't know why I just said it iron like that. That was the Pittsburgh in me, actually.
And well, you might hear my North Dakota come out as well once we get talking. So
when did you move to Georgia from North Carolina?
So I'm originally from North Dakota, was born and raised there for the first almost 30 years of my life, moved to Texas and then traveled around and was literally a gypsy for 2 years and then landed here in Georgia.
That's where
Gypsy came in, and the iron has a story with it as well. But yeah, the gypsy came from my 2 years basically living out of a backpack. I did the whole minimalist thing where I sold everything.
And oh my God, stop. Wait.
And travel and learn. And now I have a home and belongings again. But 2 years of that was transformational. It was really an amazing opportunity.
Okay, can we just go there? Because I did not know that about you. And already it's like, this is going to be a great episode. I just trust that the universe lets whatever needs to be said. I'm so jealous of you because that's something that I have never done. And now with kids, I maybe when I'm old and retired or something, but just like forget everything, live off the grid and just travel around. So let's talk what got you to that point that you knew you wanted to do that.
Yeah, well, a lot of deep introspection and soul work, as I call it, is what got me there. But I was living in Houston and went through a divorce in my late 20s and was living a very fast-paced life, climbing the corporate ladder. And I was into bodybuilding and fitness competitions. And
oh, wow.
Really focused on kind of the physical, very material aspects of life.
Yeah.
And through my fitness journey, it actually led me to more of a spiritual adventure and awakening. And I started doing transcendental meditation. So that was kind of my first step. Immersed myself into YouTube videos and everything I could learn in terms of chakras and spirituality. That led me to astrology and all of these things that really were not part of my upbringing. I grew up in a very traditional environment, small town in North Dakota.
Christian, people. Religious?
Very Christian. Yeah, I was raised Catholic.
I was raised
Catholic
too.
A lot of the modalities that I now understand as a big part of my spiritual journey and have helped me create a deeper relationship with the higher power were not necessarily part of my upbringing, nor okay for that matter. It just wasn't something I was exposed to, but I thought it was, bad and of the devil and all of those things. And so suddenly the spiritual awakening was happening and I was being led to all of these different tools. And what I realized was I was creating a deeper relationship with myself,
wow,
with on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, but also what I believe is the higher power that created us, whether you call that God or source or whatever terminology you want to use. So started to open up to this intuitive knowing that there was another journey, a new journey that was waiting to unfold for me. And at the time, as I said, I was into fitness. I decided I wanted to be a fitness coach. So that's kind of how the travel started. Was I decided I was going to travel and take courses and learn how to be the best fitness coach I could possibly be. So
and it ended you on like a mental health, not mental health, but a spiritual soul coach.
Yeah. So it ended up being really body, mind, and soul. So at first I was just booking kind of fitness and health related courses. And then I decided I wanted to do a meditation retreat and go to an ashram in India. So I spent some time there, added Thailand, added Bali, and suddenly I came back like a completely, you know, awakened, different, not that we're ever just like awakened and at the end of our journey, but it was certainly transformational. I spent a lot of time alone, a lot of time in meditation. And
don't you feel like when you go on those like sort of high vibrational trips that you literally jump into another world energetically, you know, and you're just like somewhere else? What was your what place, you just said those few places, was did you find the most transformative for yourself?
Definitely India, because that was my first stop on my journey. Wow. Number one. So I came straight from, like I said, very fast paced life, corporate structure, you know, working out, very stringent diet.
What did you do in the corporate world?
So actually I still do, but I work in corporate communications and that's what I was doing at the time.
Okay.
And, in a very kind of fast paced, structured, environment. So went straight from that into, you know, getting up at 5 a.m., doing yoga for an hour, meditating for an hour, taking classes on breath work and meditation and yoga all day long, doing more meditation, going to bed by like 9 o'clock at night and waking up and doing it all over again. So I was out of my element. I went from heavy protein diet to vegan diet to, the amenities, very different in every aspect. We were washing our clothes in buckets and hanging them out to dry. And that was not what it was just different. It was so far outside my comfort zone.
Was it easy for you to jump into it, or was it uncomfortable for you at first to take a little bit?
On every level, it was very uncomfortable. Yeah. It was enjoyable. I mean, I looked out and I could see mountains and just beauty, and it was serene and there was so much time for reflection. But it was very uncomfortable because I knew not only was I out of my element just from a geographical and cultural standpoint, but I could feel, you know how when you feel there's like an awakening, there's something that's going on that's shifting inside of you. I could feel there was one chapter closing and a new chapter beginning. And I think sometimes when we go through those phases, the scariest part is the part between
the waiting. Oh my God.
Is not you anymore, but you don't know what the new you and the new next phase is going to look like quite yet. I knew I had dreams of launching a business, but I didn't have any sort of structure. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I really had no idea how I was going to put it all together. So it was a very scary time, beautiful time.
And how long do you think you were in that space, the unknown space, from that to like, oh my God, to this is starting to take off and now make direction?
Yeah. So that lasted a good 2 years where I felt like I was in that in between. So about a year prior told me, he predicted that I was going to go through a dark night of the soul. And at the time I had no idea. I had no idea what that even was. And I was going through this phase where I was just feeling lost and confused. And I ended up getting my Reiki certification during that time as well. So for those, I don't know, have you ever been through Reiki?
Yeah,
your Reiki?
Level one.
So you know what it's like then when you go through the attunement and suddenly everything starts to shift. And it's again, this awakening time where you don't even know what's happening. So that happened in the middle, did my Reiki masters, and it was a good 2 years. Oh, and then I had Saturn transiting my moon, which you probably understand what that's about.
Wow. You had quite
emotional maturity.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I said you had quite a little journey there.
In my fourth house of all places. So,
So was that when you were traveling around when you were a gypsy?
Yes. So I had come back to the States and I was living kind of in different places. I was in San Diego at kind of the heart of that. And I was going through such an emotional time. I couldn't understand. I was just sad and there was really no explanation for it. And my Reiki teacher suggested I go get an astrology reading. And that's when she told me about the transit that was occurring. And everything that she said made complete sense. And she said, you're learning about emotional maturity and Saturn is transiting your moon. That's why you're feeling a little bit down in the dumps and feeling like you're lacking direction and purpose and structure in your life. And that's how I fell in love with astrology. So one thing really led to another. And it was like all these different modalities started showing up in my life at the right time to give me direction when I needed it most. So yeah, that's kind of how it started to come to be.
Wow. So where are you now from? Like, what made you finally settle where you are? What was like, what settled the gypsy?
Saturn.
Yes, that is funny. Won't Saturn do that?
It was like, no, and to be honest, and not to get too technical in terms of astrology, but when I went for that reading, I had Saturn transiting my fourth house, and my astrologer said, don't have a home. When you have Saturn transiting your fourth house, you need to root down, you need to ground down, you need more structures in your life. That's one of the reasons why you're feeling so unsettled. And so I decided I needed to, you know, find a place to live, and the coaching practice continues to grow and was growing at the time, but I also knew I needed to supplement an income so that I could, you know, pay the bills and do the adult mature things that Saturn likes us to do. And so I got a full-time job again, committed to continuing to grow my passion and my business on the side, kind of reignited, resurrected, reinvented my business over the course of this last year. I think all of us, with 2020 being the year that it was, we were all kind of stepping back at our lives and saying like, okay, what do I need to let go, let it crumble and resurrect and recreate it? And that's what happened with my business in 2020 in a great way.
So where were you a year ago? I mean, we're approaching, it's been a year in almost 2 weeks. That's crazy. Where were you like at that point?
Oh, that's a great question. So working full time.
Okay.
I was doing events, live events, with a previous business partner, and that business was growing, but it didn't feel connected at a heart space.
What was that business?
So it was more holistic, like we called it body, mind, soul events.
Oh, okay.
So we did work in Reiki. We did work in meditation. I wasn't doing much with astrology, and I felt very called to bring astrology into my practice.
Yeah.
I felt very called to work with women specifically. And so I just really focused on what is it that I want to create. And so last year, the Empowered Empath Collective was born. And also
how'd you get that name?
Into my astrology business. I have a fantastic business coach, and we were brainstorming, and I shared with her the type of, she's my ideal client.
Yeah.
I said, it's someone who believes that they have a purpose in the world. Someone who believes that they're here to make a difference. Someone who really cares about others, but maybe has a hard time finding the boundaries or the confidence or the direction.
Sounds like me.
Right. And she said, you're describing an empath. And I hadn't really resonated. I don't know why. I am an empath. I've been an empath. She said, you're an empath. For some reason, I never resonated with that word. And I realized the reason was, when we hear empath, so many times we hear it in this disempowered way. And like, yeah, I have these beautiful abilities, but I'm picking up all this energy and these emotions and these vibrations and expectations of other people, and it weighs on me. And so the way that it came to be Empowered Empath Collective was, I wanted to rewrite the rules. I wanted to reframe what it means to be an empath and truly help empaths connect with their superpowers, being this great call to serve, this beautiful, way of giving to others, of loving in such a deep way, the creativity that empaths have, the ability to connect in an instant, like you and I, it's like, I feel like I know you, like all those things. That's what I wanted to help empaths uncover within themselves. So that's how we came up with the name.
Wow. And find that power. And you're definitely doing it. And you just have such, I'm just watching you on camera, and you just have such this like, everyone listening, the bright smile and happy and talking in a glow. And you could tell that you really are living your purpose and finding your purpose. So what would you say for our listeners if they're saying, I don't know how to find my purpose or where I should even start? What would you tell them? Where would you tell them to start?
Well, number one thing I would say is to reframe how difficult we think it is to find our purpose. Mm. I had a limiting belief, and this is something I was working on a lot last year, was like, oh my gosh, my purpose, it's this big thing that I've got to figure out, and I've got to wait for the day when suddenly like this voice from above comes and gives me my purpose. It's a journey, right? It's constantly taking steps toward what we're passionate about, toward what we love, toward when we see something in the world and we say to ourselves, I want to see that change, or I went through that and I see someone else going through that, I would love to help them. Those things are all speaking to you and leading to your purpose. And I think the best way to find our purpose is to just keep walking and taking steps. And don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid if you hit a roadblock. If you would have asked me 4 years ago what I thought my purpose was, I would have told you it's helping people get fit and love their body and, you know, feel good in their body. It would all been about fitness. But fitness led me to Reiki, which led me to astrology, which led me to all these other modalities. And so purpose is a journey. And so I think just acknowledging that it's worth the journey. It's worth making the mistakes, if you will. It's worth sometimes going in a spiral direction or feel like you're not making progress. Staying committed to that and just knowing that every day we have an opportunity to live with purpose just by the way that we show up and the energy we bring to other people. So it's kind of a roundabout answer.
That was an amazing roundabout answer.
Like, purpose is a journey.
Purpose is a journey. I love that. Yeah, never changing and never going back to this moment, you know, that we have and finding the purpose in this moment. Right now we have the purpose just giving this podcast and hopefully helping lots of people saying yes. That. What do you feel your new purposes are? Do you have any new ones now?
Well, I've actually been thinking a lot about that. So I believe that part of my purpose is to help others live in a vibration of love, to show up in a vibration of love, to do the best that I possibly can to be in that place, but then to help other people find that in themselves.
You definitely have a strong love vibration about you.
Venus and Pisces in my
name. Oh, yes, so yes. I see it. I have Venus. I have Venus in Cancer.
Ooh, yes, I feel that. I feel that. Those are good vibes too.
So annoying. Every person I meet, I see our marriage. Do you do that in Pisces? Like every person I meet, even I swear to you, like the gas station attendant or someone I have a flirting with or someone I like, I can like see our entire marriage, our entire like life together.
Yeah,
do you do that?
Pisces is so dreamy like that. Yes. Those water signs. Yes. Water signs. Like, oh.
It's so annoying. It's like, come back to reality.
Yep, exactly. And I'm such a romantic too. Like, you know, my friends and boyfriend, and it was like, everybody knows, I say it all the time. I love love. I just love love.
Yeah.
I love love. I do. And I told somebody the other day,
I love like, that.
I just want everybody to be in love, whether it's with a person or a passion or purpose or just waking up, living a life you love, loving yourself. I mean,
oh my God, that's so beautiful. I agree with that. I love the way you put that. I love love. I love being in love. My Gemini sun and Virgo rising is like, get everyone away from me. And the Cancer Venus, like, no, I want to make, come here, come love me, come love me, come love me.
I have that inner conflict as well sometimes because I'm an Aquarius sun. So, and a Capricorn.
What's your rising?
Moon.
And a Capricorn moon.
Libra. A Libra, or my rising's a Libra, so
wow.
I really do like exude this like outer vibration of love. But
yes, you do.
Also part of me, and this is y'all why I think astrology is so important, is because it helps us explore these different layers of ourselves. I always wondered why it was that I love people so much. I love humans. I love the energy of being, you know, being in a crowd. I love love, but yet I need alone time. I need reflection time. I need me time. I need to sort of pull back and kind of recollect my own thoughts. And, you know, Aquarius sun, Capricorn moon, it definitely needs solitude as well.
Wait, can I ask you something about the Capricorn moon? Because I still have to post it in my story. And so my younger son, Remy, is a Capricorn moon. I was literally thinking this today. He's fanatical about his stuff, like germs being too touched, things like not being perfected. And I took a sip of his Gatorade and he was like, make sure you wipe off the side you used and don't get any hair in it. And yes, I feel
his must be like in the sixth house or something. Like he's got to have a different Capricorn moon.
So he has in the ninth house actually. But I feel like he's just very like, and I know some other Capricorn moons, like, cause they're of their awareness and their surroundings. So very like protective of that. But your Libra rising, Libras are such givers. So maybe that seems like a give, but I feel like, you know, you're very, you know, of your surroundings and your environment, you're very protective of it.
Yeah, I can see that. And what I've noticed for Capricorn moons is like, they've got to have a focus. Like they've got to have a direction. And so it's like, for at this point in life, like I can see how protecting yourself and germs would be like one of your highest goals. Like,
yes.
Capricorns are very goal oriented. Yeah. I've always been very goal oriented. And so one thing I've found, like, as I've evolved and as I've grown, I've observed about my Capricorn moon is that I've got to be very careful about where I set my goals and where I set my focus, because if I don't set it on the right thing, I can totally lose myself in the wrong thing, in the wrong pursuit, and either end up not fulfilled in the end because I didn't set the right goal, or like I said, completely losing myself in work or the focus on the goal that I forget to be love and be happy and exude love and all those things along the way. So
you do to get back into those moments of feeling and being love?
So I have a pretty, what's the word? I'm very loyal to my meditation practice in the morning.
You're so inspiring to me. I need to do that. Continue.
That's my Capricorn. My Capricorn yes. moon needs that routine. Every morning I do a meditation and then I usually do some journaling. Journaling for me has been very helpful in understanding, I think, I've got a lot of water in my chart, but I've also got the Capricorn moon. I've got my Mercury in Capricorn. So I've always been a type of person who needs to process in writing. And I think especially this is something I tell all empaths, not just if you're those particular signatures, but so many times as empaths, we get in our head and we're like looping our thoughts, or we're so in our emotions and we've got to pour it out. We've got to find a way to process and move through it. So I always tell, like, one of the things I coach my empath clients is ask, align, action. So the asking part is the journaling, like processing, what is it that I'm feeling? What is it that I'm thinking? What is the actual challenge that I'm facing? Is this my energy? Is it somebody else's? Wow. What do I feel? What do I want to feel? And then aligning with what it is that you want to feel, and then taking action from that space. I think, again, as empaths, if we get too stuck in the emotional or the overthinking, and we can have a tendency to do that, overthinking, and this is me as a Libra rising, like, what will this person think? How will this person react? And I would get so trapped in that, that I would never take action. And so I like to encourage, in particular, empaths to take action and not get stuck in that place of over analysis or analysis paralysis.
Can you say that again? Action,
ask. Align, action.
Ask, align, so
really
action.
Asking yourself the right questions and taking time to ask yourself questions that are, how do I feel and how do I want to feel? I think that's a really big one. Yeah. Starting to ask ourselves what it is that we want and what we desire. But feelings, emotions are really big for us. And how many times are we just showing up and we're kind of like taking whatever is projected onto us instead of choosing, no, this is what I want to align with love. I want to feel love. And then we can actually, as empaths, we are gifted at feeling vibrations and feeling emotions. So we can either take on what other people are putting onto us, or we can formulate the energy and the emotion within ourselves to feel whatever it is that we want to feel, and feel that at such a high and powerful level, because we are such strong, emotional, energetic, vibrational beings. And then, as I said, action. So once you get yourself aligned with that emotion, with that energetic vibration that you want to be in, taking action from there.
Wow. That you are like the number one empath coach. Let me ask you this, because I don't know if you saw it on Instagram last week. I was talking about this, especially as empaths, and I like took me years to figure it out. Maybe after my Saturn returned with my ex-marriage, it just like finally did I see it. And even this year kept coming up in 2020 with me is I like will give, because we can see people, we see exactly who they are. And then I like romanticize that potential, whether it's friendship, coworker, relationship. And I'm like, no, I'll fix that, or I'll see them, or I will bring it out of them. I'll bring the best out of them. I'll create this. And how do you protect against that? I guess it's just learning. Now I'm getting better, right? Like, do you do that? What's your advice on that?
100% I do that. And just like you, I've had to learn not to do that. Here's what I think the best solution is for empaths, and that is to have a purpose, to be very clear on your purpose, or be on a journey to your purpose. Because if you're not connected with, this is what I'm here to do in the world, this is my specific purpose, again, even if it's not completely clear, be moving in that direction, then we can focus our energy on something that is guided and directed and focused, versus like, I've got to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, if you're not using your specifics, I think all of us as empaths and all of us as humans essentially have very specific and unique gifts that we were given to make the world a better place. And if we don't have an outlet for those, we're looking for a way to fix people. And so oftentimes it shows up in our relationships, or like this happened to me recently. I was in like a social environment where it was not an appropriate situation to be like coaching people. And I'm like sitting there coaching people, right? Because it's like, you just want to help them so badly that it's, I just think that you need an outlet for your gifts, to use it in a space where it's welcomed and the people are open to it.
And open to it. And you said earlier different levels of empaths. And I was curious, sorry, I cannot talk. When you were a kid, because I know how mine played out, how did yours play out, right? Like when you didn't know that you were an empath, how did it play out?
Yeah. Mine played out in a very Capricorn moon sort of way. So I was always anticipating like, how will other people react or respond to me? So because this is my belief that sometimes empaths show up as perfectionists or very high achievers or, you know, people pleasers. And oftentimes that's not talked about with empaths, but a lot of the women that I work with relate and resonate with that. And the reason is we are so sensitive to those reactions from other people that we are willing to do anything to make people approve of us or like us or say good job or pat on the back because it feels so good. It's not like a narcissistic thing. It's like, we literally just want that connection. We want that love. We want that approval so badly because we love so deeply and we feel so deeply. So for me, it was much more this like super achiever mentality that manifested my empath, but just also I felt things in a very deep way that I didn't understand at a young age. Yeah. And I always thought about like, well, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Or, you know, people like wanting to understand their stories and like, well, why are they here? And I've just always been very reflective and introspective. So that's how it showed up for me. How about for you?
I had the similar of just being very curious, but mine showed up very Mercury ruled, right? So, you know, I have my Mercury in Gemini, my Sun in Gemini, my Moon in Virgo, my Rising Virgo. So it was very ADHD. I couldn't pay attention. And so I was constantly watching exactly how people were moving, what they're saying, how I felt, what I was seeing. And it always very showed up very mental, like I knew what people were saying. And it was just, and it would create these, like, sometimes these overreactions as well, that like these sort of like explode and then be like, fine, like, I'm like extremely bipolar and then show up at like, oh, I'm fine. What do you mean? Like, and so it was very mental.
No, but that makes sense. And it's so interesting how we can see in our astrology charts, like how our different levels of empath can show up, but that had to be really, really challenging. So it was like you could sort of sense or hear or feel what other people were thinking.
Yes. And creating. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I can remember being as a kid, and I'll say this, is I'll shut up. But I can remember being as a kid and like almost seeing things, like predicting like in my head. And then if I didn't go tell the person, this is gonna sound crazy, like it happened. And it came and it came true. And I knew, and I also just like every time I would be around someone, I would just, I just knew what they were thinking, or, you know what I mean? Whether sometimes it would happen right after they would say it, or then I'd make myself crazy because I wasn't sure if that's what they were really saying or doing. So it was constantly in everyone's here, right? I was in everyone's brain and energy.
And so how have you learned to channel that? Yeah, that gift, call it.
Well, when I was in high school, I went to drugs. So I spent many years in drugs. Honestly, that was the best way, like when I was young, how I knew to channel it. And then when I got into recovery and got right into my spirituality was how I learned how to channel it. But even now I can get very caught up in just seeing, right? And just seeing, like, I don't know if this sounds very Mercury too, but I meet someone, again, friend, whatever, and I can just see the entire journey. And I'm not sure if I'm just like, if that's like the future Mercury of creating the journey, or if that's the extra, if that's the journey, but I can do it with everyone.
That's amazing.
And then that's like, and I'll say this, I had recently, I've been avoiding someone. We just have love to avoid each other. We both of our Marses are opposite each other or in our birth chart. And so we love to, and we purposely avoid each other. And then today, like, I was like, oh, I knew I was going to see him. And then we drove past each other on a highway.
So that's crazy.
Yeah. That's the way that plays out.
And it seems like you're using it here though, like in the podcast, because, you know, just as like, I just kind of like launched into a sentence and you already knew, here's where I need to take her. Like, I can see her journey already.
Okay, so that you just described it. You just described it best. That's exactly like what I do. Like, I know exactly what you're going to think or say or which direction to take the wording in conversations, even as doing hair. I don't know. That's how it like, I can just, that's the way the mind reading would play out in my life, I guess. You described it best.
What a gift. And the hair healer, I love that. So I've been blessed. I've been blessed with many amazing stylists. And
yeah, I was going to ask you, do you have a hairstylist down there? What about, did you go to different salons on your gypsy tour?
Well, when I was a gypsy, I really didn't have money to go to the salon. So I just let my hair be long and, you know,
you have beautiful hair.
The sun was the color. Like, that was about it. But, it's so funny. I joke, when I lived in Houston, so I lived there for 7 years. And one of my very first weeks, I went to get my hair cut and colored. I was going to be in a wedding or something. And I met this woman and she ended up being my stylist for the whole entire 6-7 years that I was there.
Wow.
And she did actually have a psychology undergrad, something.
Oh, amazing.
Background. And so she was literally my hair healer. And I went through so much healing. And she knew everything. And I told her that she was my longest relationship in Houston because she was my longest friend. She was like my hair therapist, my hair healer.
Now
so I
that
know
was
the space that you hold for people, and it is a gift. It is a true gift that you're able to bring to people.
Now was that before you went on your gypsy tour?
It was.
Are you still in contact with her? See you on social media?
I am still in contact. I love social media for that reason. I'm an Aquarius. So it's like I love like having these friends from all over and people that you can connect with online. So yes, we are still in touch for sure.
It's funny, I love that too with the Virgo. We love the technology. And connecting. So what are you doing now? You had mentioned earlier because something went wrong with your moon circle, virtual moon circle. So what are you doing with the circle?
Yes. So as part of the Empowered Empath Collective, every month, one of the benefits for being part of the community is a moon party, but it's also open to the public. And so we do full moon every single month. We do it by Zoom, and it is meant to be a celebration, but also a release ceremony and then setting intentions for the month ahead. So as you know, Colleen, full moons are a time of things coming to fruition. And I think oftentimes with full moons, we sort of forget to, at least I do, I forget to celebrate. I forget to acknowledge like, oh, wow, like look at all the things that in this cycle came to be in my life. So we do some reflection, we do gratitude, we celebrate something amazing that's happened in the month prior. We share that as a community of women. I love this space. And someone said it the other night that there are so few spaces where women can come together just as equals, as a community, as a safe space. We have all ages. So we do that. And then I usually do some Reiki and some sort of a moon guided release ceremony, and then a visioning process to get very clear on what we want to manifest and create and become in the month to follow. And it truly is, it's a party. Like you can dress up if you want, you can wear a dress, you can wear your sweats, you can bring your tea, you can bring your wine. We play music, we dance.
I want to come.
It's literally fun. You'll have to come to the next one. I
would love
to.
Please send me. Will you please send me and tell me if people listening, how they could come if they wanted to come.
So go to my website, it's kesleytweed.com. And if you go under the section called community, you can see Moon Party. And so I'll have the next Moon Party up very soon. They're usually at the end of the month right now with the moon cycle the way that it is. So we every single month and would love to have people join us.
Do you do anything for the new moon or is it right now just set up for the full moon?
Right now it's just for the full moon for the public. For my community, we always talk about the new moon and set new moon intentions. And it's been really fun, this group, especially if, you know, for people who are new to astrology. Astrology can be very, as you know, Colleen, super intimidating if you're just starting out on your own and trying to make sense of your birth chart and the transits and all of that. So I have a group of women who's been very, very interested in understanding, using astrology as a map to understand themselves, but also the world around them, their relationships, their empath gifts, all the things. So we've been diving deep and kind of going in different layers of helping them understand all the pieces of astrology. So it's been a lot of fun to see them really embrace it.
I love that. I love that. Now you study. So we had talked, we have the same teacher right now. I've been studying ancient astrology, Hellenistic astrology the entire time. And I guess years ago when I started looking at astrology, it was definitely more modern. And now you have both. You have experience in both.
Yeah, I'm passionate and I'm a dabbler. Yep. So I've taken evolutionary astrology and modern astrology and ancient astrology. I'm in one of the same courses you are right now.
You felt most connected with so far? Just all of the adding them all.
I really enjoy evolutionary astrology. I think that's really resonating with me at a deep level and really using the nodes and Pluto and some of those different signatures that we don't as much in,
yep,
in ancient astrology. But what I do appreciate about Hellenistic and ancient astrology is that it's pure.
Yes.
It's not as sort of modified to fit where we are in present times.
It's a good way to put that, pure.
Very literal and pure. And that's one of the reasons why I signed up for that course was, I want to get to the roots. I want to understand the roots. And then if I decide to branch off and like incorporate different things from there, at least I have the strongest foundation I possibly can. So I commend you for really sticking with that. And
it's the Virgo rising. I've been following him, and then it just was so much. I'm like, now once I really get through that, build my foundations through his next 3 years, then maybe we will see with the how I merge modern astrology with that. But if you're wondering what we're talking about, our teacher's name is Achyuta Bhava, Night Light Astrology. That's nightlightastrology.com, and he has new courses starting in June for ancient astrology. And it's funny, I got someone and I had them make me my chart, okay? And I had sent, they painted it, and I had sent them, so they didn't have, like, hey, I would like a whole sign house chart. They didn't mind, so I'd study whole sign house chart. I even sent them my chart so they didn't have to look it up. And then I got it, and it was not a whole sign house chart. And I was so mad, but I held it, and I was like, okay, Colleen, there's a reason this came like that, Practice being open-minded. You don't know where you'll be 5 years now. You might start wanting to practice modern astrology more. You have no idea. So I put it up and I'm grateful for it. But I remember that was an interesting because I was so mad at first, but I was like, no, be open-minded to all of them.
Yes, be open-minded. So I have a question for you. So how do you use astrology? How have you found that you've applied it in your life?
In my life in general?
Yeah, in your life in general, like, do you use it on a daily basis? Are you looking at
transits? Oh, yeah. I use it on
just understanding your birth chart, a really transformative process. Like, how do you think how do you use it, and how do you think it's benefited you most? I'm turning the tables on you. I'm probably not supposed to do that, but I'm really intrigued by how people end up using it.
You are. I feel bad. I'm like, this is about you. I'm like, it's changing the episode up on me a little bit here. So interestingly enough, I use it daily, right? I track daily, and I'm trying to get better with posting daily and actually really tracking daily. Like our teacher said, Achyuta Bhava, track daily, the moon cycles, everything, especially for the next couple years, journal, and then you really get a sense of what's going on. So I track daily. It will affect I won't do certain things or go certain ways just because I know how the energy will be. And then I track it daily for people like this. And now I'm merging it into my practice, right? And using that for like self-healing, self-love techniques as I've been doing that. I use it just for people. Like again, the curiosity in doing hair. I've always been curious of people, why they do the things they do. Again, just as an empath, watching them, trying to figure everyone out for so long. And I felt like astrology was the psychology of our energy. That's what I say. So I use it just like in everyone I talk to, I want to know, and it helps me understand them more and almost just gain a better acceptance, awareness of people. Is that a good answer?
That's a great answer. Like that. Yes, absolutely. That's a great answer. It makes me excited just to hear the ways that different people are using it and how it can be so healing. I think that's one of the things that is sort of missed when people think about astrology, especially if you've only read horoscopes or you have maybe a a more conditioned view, I'll call it, of astrology, or it's you believe what you've been told about it. I think that it can be so healing. And I mean, you've probably seen it, the way that you can help people understand themselves and their journey and bring peace to some of the things that they've been through in their life. It is.
Well, that's it. My clients, like, all of a sudden they're like, I was talking to a client and she's a hair client, an astrology client. And we're talking about having, you know, Aries rules her 10th house and Mars is in her 6th house. And so she's always overworking in the corporate world. And we had to talk like, no, now that you know this, and in 6th house it rules your health. I'm like, so when you overwork yourself, right, you are going to have bad health. And it showed throughout the years. And all of a sudden, just she gaining that awareness was like, oh, you know, it's just like planting a seed. Oh, maybe I'll take a little bit care. And that's like the best way, just seeing that magic in someone, just sort of understand themselves a little bit more.
Yes, exactly. And that's a great example, because it can be, you know, something like that, where it's, you know, maybe something we've dealt with our whole lives, our health, like it seems very cut and dry, I guess. But then it can be very deep and transformative, and things that you have never understood, like, why am I this way? Or, you know, why did I go through this phase of my life? Why did this happen? Why was my Saturn return so effing hard?
Was your Saturn return during the, was that after the Gypsy phase?
It was before the Gypsy phase.
Before the Gypsy phase.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a time of heaviness and transformation and maturity. And I had just gone through a divorce.
Oh, I went through a divorce. I went through a marriage and divorce for my Saturn return. Same with you?
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'd been married for several years prior. Okay. I got married when I was 23. So I'd been married for quite a few years, but yeah, went through the divorce and then went through, I think that the real kind of heart of the Saturn return was then trying to figure out who I was as a mature, independent woman.
Yeah.
Different from the life that I had planned. Like, I got married at 23 from a small town. Like, I had this vision of life. And then suddenly I woke up during my Saturn return and I was like, whoa, like, that's not my life that I thought I had planned isn't going to be the life. So what is the life going to be? And where do I go from here? And how do I do that in a mature way? Because, you know, like a lot of people, when you go through divorce, I kind of went a little, you know, like I don't know, midlife crisis.
It brings out some different sides.
Midlife crisis, whatever it was. And so the Saturn return was kind of waking up from that and being like, all right, well, what am I really going to do with my life now?
You know, you gave me chills because I remember that moment in my Saturn return, also just accepting that my life was not going how I had planned, right? I got married after 2 months and then I was like, I was set and everything had changed. Like, I was like, this going this way. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh, wait, everything I'd planned is not what's happening at all. Now, how do we transform out of this?
Yes.
And didn't you feel like you won like an award? Like, you got a big like trophy at the end of it, Emma. You know, like a breath. Like,
I mean, honestly, I had no idea what I was going through at the time.
Okay.
I wish that I would have.
Okay.
It made a lot of sense. Did you know what you were doing? Did you know it was your, you did?
Oh, yeah. I've been preparing since I was like 26. I think I'll be 33 this year. And I think the first time I heard about a Saturn return, I was 26. And then like, it was crazy.
I don't know if it would be better to know that that's coming or worse to know that that's coming.
Like, I started
and then be like, what the F was that?
Yeah, I started this pod. I had my Saturn in my 5th house, okay, in Capricorn, so it was well dignified, but it was opposite Venus retrograde in Cancer. So there's the marriage, the relationship, there were kids involved. And then, but this came from it, right? Creativity, the 5th house, the podcast came from that. All kinds of crazy stuff came from it. And your Saturn was in what house?
My Saturn's in my 2nd house in Scorpio. So it was, I mean, all the deep emotional Scorpio kind of stuff. But certainly a lot around self-worth, I mean, going through a divorce, I'd always struggled with self-worth to begin with.
You did.
And then going through divorce and then being back in the dating world as an adult and trying to figure out like how to do that in finding your self-worth and all of that when you're kind of like relearning how to do life and dating and relationships in a new way. It was definitely challenge. And then I remember going through a phase during that same time where I moved to this new place and I had this group of friends and some really good girlfriends, but that some of them ended up being in relationships. So it was like a lot of relationships in different forms were ending or transforming. And I was forced to, through the Saturn return, figure out who I was separate from all these relationships and who, where my value was. And wow. Yeah, it was certainly very heavy. One of those times I wouldn't want to go back wow. to, but very, very, very strength, so much strength that came through that time.
Don't you think that's when we really grow up too, especially if you yeah. sort of, I hate to use the word conquered, but if you really sort of learned your lessons or learned what you need to do. Now, I didn't feel like I felt like an adult. I did not feel like an adult until after my Saturn return.
No, that is so true. And yeah, and I just went through Saturn square Saturn. And I can say that has been even more like another, you know, I felt like I was an adult, but now I'm like, oh, there are other ways that Saturn's like, yeah, there's more.
I like have such a love hate with Saturn. You know, I feel like it's all my grandfatherly spirits, but at the same time, I've cursed Saturn out this past year. Like, oh, you yeah. know what? F you, Saturn. I'm done with these lessons. I swear I've learned them all. Please.
I've been there. And that was another thing that when I went for my first reading, I had learned enough about Saturn to know like that he was a very challenging planet to work with. And so yes. I told my astrologer, I don't like Saturn and I hate my Capricorn moon. And she was like, you better figure that out. And you and Saturn better become friends because he rules your sun from a traditional yes. perspective and he rules your moon. So you better make friends with Saturn. And I have, I think.
So you know what? Our teacher actually does a really good, I don't know if you ever listened to it on his YouTube channel. I want to say it was a couple months ago. It's all about Saturn and like what not to hate, you know, the good benefits of Saturn, you know, but yes. greater major rewards come later in life with Saturn. So we'll hold on to those beautiful things.
I think definitely later, but that commitment, right? Like Saturn, and that was one of the things my astrologer told me, and I'll never forget it. She said, Saturn, you know, people think Jupiter pays rewards. Jupiter's in is the great benefic, right? But Saturn is really, if you stay committed and you stay focused and you stay the course, like Saturn's actually the one who pays the greatest long-lasting rewards in the end.
You just gave me so many chills, and you've spoken so much wisdom to me that I needed to hear. Even that, just thinking like doing this podcast 2 years now and it was my Saturn return and I'm like, when's it gonna? And you're like, I feel like you just spoke what I need to hear, right? You just keep pushing through and it wants to see that hard work.
Yes, exactly. Saturn honors that hard work and we're always rewarded for it. We probably won't see it right away. You know, and I think I'm one of those people who always, like the Capricorn moon, I sort of struggle with it, right? Because it's like, you want to see this immediate results and you always want the growth. And I have very heavy Jupiter in my chart as well. I have a lot of Jupiter and a lot of Sag energy. So it's like, I always want to see this growth.
I see the Sag in you.
I've had to learn to take the long, slow approach and the long-term journey, even with my business. That's been a big wow. learning for me, working full-time and then having a business. Every now and then I'm like, I just want to do my business full-time. Like, and then Saturn kind of taps me on the shoulder, like, if you just stay the path and you stay committed and you really commit to integrity, I think that's one of the big things I think about with Saturn, like coming to it, your goal, whatever it is, from a place of integrity and a place of like wanting fulfillment versus quick results. That's when you get the benefits.
Wow. Oh my God. You know what? We're getting into the end of this episode. This has been such a good episode.
This has been so fun.
Did you speak so much that I know my listeners need to hear, but you said so much I needed to hear. I could, and you inspired me just from the very beginning. You really, really have. You have such beautiful, genuine energy, and you are definitely here meant to do many things, including help coach empaths. So if people want to reach out to you and be coached by you, where can they find you?
Sure. So KesleyTweed.com is my website, and I can be found on Instagram at Iron Gypsy Life. And I just want to echo that. Like, I feel the Gemini. Like, I feel this, like, flowing, like life is good. Let's just smile and have a great time and make the world a better place along the way. I feel that vibration from you.
So, thank you for saying that. Thank you. Wait, you know what? Before I forget, I always ask these couple questions at the end. So what is the number one piece of advice someone's ever given you?
Oh my goodness.
I don't like to tell people ahead of time. So like whatever comes first to your mind.
The number one piece of advice Stephanie. Okay, so someone who's been really transformational for me on my journey early on in terms of like spiritual teachers was Gabby Bernstein. And she talks a lot, she preaches a lot from A Course in Miracles.
Yeah.
And this is just what came up was love over fear. I think I was certainly a person at many points in my life where my mind was programmed to go to the fear and the lack and the what if from a negative space, and aligning with love, trusting love, flowing with love, starting to feel with what moving in love feels like so that we can move through that in our lives. So I think love over fear is, there's so many things, like, I don't know. It was just the first thing that came to mind in the moment.
Well, you spoke about love a lot, and I told you, you have a very strong heart chakra, just really, like, you got a lot of love in you and a lot of love to give people. Now, what is the little last piece of advice you want to leave our listeners?
What's coming up in this moment is enjoy the journey.
I love
that. Enjoy the journey. We've talked a lot about Saturn. We've talked a lot about, like, you know, the hard work along the way. And I think there is so much beauty from putting in the hard work. But I also think that we are given this one human experience and this one, you know, maybe multiple human experiences, but in this body with the particular birth chart that we were born in, with this soul, we came here to have a journey and an experience. And I think enjoying that is the most beautiful gift we can give ourselves and those around us, but also our soul, the evolution of our soul. And enjoy the journey.
Wow. Enjoy the journey. Let's end it with that. Enjoy the journey, everyone. Enjoy the journey of the week. Enjoy the journey of your life. Just try to enjoy and find things that bring you joy in your life. Thank you so much, Kesley Tweed, for coming to the computer all the way from Georgia. You have been amazing. Thank you again for coming on. It was wonderful.
Thank you. It was an honor, and your space is beautiful. Your energy is beautiful. And I hope our paths cross again very soon.
I really think they do. We had quite a connection, and seriously, I feel so good right now. I can't even tell you. And I know all of our listeners feel so good too. They could feel our electric and your happiness through. Thank you everyone for listening. Please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, send this to someone, and follow at the Hair Healer 1111. Thank you everyone. Have a wonderful week, and love you all. Thank you.